morning. How is everyone? Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you, Sue. I appreciate that. I'm glad you're doing awesome. Welcome to Grace Community Church. My name is Kelly Smith. I'm lead pastor here. Before we start the sermon, I just wanted to talk about Easter here at Grace Community Church. In 2 weeks, we are doing Easter here at Grace Community Church. We're really excited about 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service. And Easter is one of those kind of those pinnacle events during the year where you have Easter and Christmas where you're celebrating the life of Jesus, but then you're celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it's a great time to bring friends, to bring family. Usually it's interesting. I heard when I was growing up, if you ask a dad what he wants to do on Easter, he says, or Father's Day, just leave me alone and let me go golfing. And if you ask a mom, that she's like, I want my family to come to church with me. And it's one of those things that I grew up hearing and going, it's true. People, if you ask them and say, hey, would you want to come to church with me on Easter? For some reason, people go, well, that's kind of an accepted time for me to come to church, so I'll come with you. But it's a great time to bring friends and family. It's a good time to invite people to come with you. And you'll see on the seats in front of you, there's these little cards. These little cards, you can get them at the back, too, that are the Cross Equal Love cards, Easter at Grace, that are a great way to take them, hand them to people. It says write what time the services are on the back, where it's at. Say, hey, come join me at church. Oh, Courtney has them in the back. She said, come get them from her in the back of the church after service. But grab some of those cards. Give them to someone. Bring them to church. Say, hey, come with me. People are more likely to come to church, are more likely to be involved, are more likely to hear the message of Jesus if someone invites them personally than if we do the biggest ad campaign you could do in the city of Rochester. People want to know someone who's there. They want to hear that it matters to someone personally. They want to feel like they're important, not just a flyer in the mail, but that it's coming from someone who actually cares for them. If you want to have a chance to sit there and go, I want to reach out. I want to be part of that tell, love, go and tell people about Jesus. Give them a card. Talk to them. Invite them. It's a very easy way to go ahead and reach out to people, evangelize and say, come to church with me. Come hang out on Easter Day. Come see what Grace Community Church is like. So I'd invite you to encourage you to bring friends, bring family, have them come out to Grace. And also, if you're sitting there, we know that at Easter, it can get really full in here. And there's a lot of people. And we already have extra chairs ready to go and everything. But if you were sitting there going, I'd love to help out, maybe setting up chairs or doing an extra little job, meet Courtney in the back after service. She'd love to say, hey, we've got some jobs we'd love some help with. And she'd love to talk to you and be able to tell you exactly what that is. She knows exactly what's going on, and she can tell you, this is the spot I need you at. So see Courtney after service if you're interested in helping out. All right. We are continuing in our sermon series now, our Lent sermon series called The Lord's Prayer. And this is a sermon series we've been in for the last 4 weeks, and this is the fifth week of the sermon series where we're continuing on and we're talking about Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and what it means. And I'm really excited about today. If I seem a little tired or I don't have the same energy I usually have, yesterday I had an exciting time with my family. My wife, myself, and my son, we all went and did a weightlifting competition up in Augusta, Maine at the Maine State Championships. I will tell you, those two rocked it. My wife set a new record in the state of Maine, and my son set 5 new records in the state of Maine. So they were crushing it. This is the three of us lifting yesterday. I don't know if you can tell who my son takes after more from the yell, but it's so fun to watch them. It's so fun to be there together as a family because Kelton is, you know, he's just this beast of a kid who's 16 who people are like, who is this guy? And my wife, she gets up there and she's like, just sweet as she lifts the weights, kind of smiles at you a little bit. She's so calm about it. And he's up there, raw! But it was a great time together. So if after service you see me sitting in a chair and I fall asleep, please wake me up before second service. That would be appreciated. So we are continuing on in the Lord's Prayer. Sorry about that. If you hear me, my voice is a little gone. It's because I screamed a lot yesterday because I was pretty excited. The Lord's Prayer. Today we are talking about finishing the Lord's Prayer that Jesus told us and said, when you talk to God, this is how you pray. When you talk to God, this is how you communicate with Him. And He gave us this way to pray. And so we're going to read together the Lord's Prayer right now. So if you would read along with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We have gone through the Lord's Prayer, and starting from the very top of God and his holiness, and working down from him, having his will in our life, and taking care of our daily needs, and then working on him, for saying, God, forgive me, and I need to continue to forgive others. And going through this whole thing, and we come to this last line of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we talk about this today, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we need to make sure that we have all the rest of what Jesus has said lined up in front of this. If you come just to Jesus and go, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil, but you don't recognize God's holiness, it doesn't really matter. If you say, lead me not into temptation, and you forget that you need to be daily in prayer with God, talking to him, giving him what you need daily, it doesn't really work. And if you're saying, lead me not into temptation, but you forget to ask forgiveness and give forgiveness, that doesn't really work either. It's having all these things in line up to this point where we say, lead us not into temptation, God, but deliver us from evil. Now, temptation is something that is all around us in this world. And it's a difficult time. And as I was thinking about what temptation looks like to different people, I thought of what temptation looks like to me. And I know my wife and I, we love to travel. We love going around the world. We love experiencing new cultures. But one of the things we love is to go places and experience the food that they have in those places. Have authentic meals where we go. And it's something that every time you smell that food or you eat it again, it reminds you of the journey you had. And it brings back those memories. And there's a little place down in Portsmouth called Maison Navarre that has authentic French food. It's run by a French couple. And it is amazing. They have the perfect little sandwiches and the perfect salads. And this French onion soup that is to die for. Like, you have to cut through the cheese to get to the French onion soup. It is wonderful. And so my wife and I, we love to go down there and experience that food. And it feels like we're right back in Paris. And we love it. But there's a problem. They also have the most amazing desserts I've probably ever had. And they don't have like one or two of them. They have a case full of them, of all these amazing foods. And then they have a whole case that's just macarons. Who here has had a real macaron? Yeah, a good? Okay, if you haven't had a French macaron, you're not really living. I'm just going to say it right now. It is heavenly. It's like crispy on the outside, a little chewy. It's got the sweet center. And your mouth kind of falls apart and you say, this is it. A taste of heaven. It's amazing. And they have all these foods there. And we have never been able to go into that restaurant without coming home with a bag or a box of treats where we spent more money on the dessert that we bring home than we did the actual meal. Why? Because it's right there. It's right in front of us, and it's so tempting. It's just sitting there calling your name. And my willpower at it is horrible to say no to those desserts. I don't know if you could tell that. Just a heads up. But I like dessert. It's so good. But that temptation is difficult because it's right there. Think if they had all the desserts and they were out in the back. And they're like, do you want dessert? But you don't actually see it. You'd be like, eh, I'm good without it. But you walk right in through the front door and it's the first thing you see. And as you're walking out, you see it and you're like, oh, I'll just swing by and grab one thing. And you come home with like bags as you're walking in the house for the kids. And then they're like, where are they? And you're like, we ate them on the way home. So, but this idea of temptation, it's tempting and it's difficult, usually because it's right in front of you. Usually because it's either in your face or you're thinking about it. But it's a temptation that's real. If it was far away and it was something you could never have, it wouldn't be as tempting. It's the difficulty is realized when something's there, it tempts you. It has this allure to it that you want to have it, that you want to partake in it, that you want it to be a part of your life. So temptation is something that's very real to us. And Jesus says here, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When you're talking to God and you're saying, lead me not into temptation, we need to understand that this idea that there's a whole bunch of words here going on in the Greek language. And one of them is this lead one. It means to be brought in, to be taken in by something, saying, don't let me be taken in by the temptations of the world. Don't let me be taken in and it hold a part of me. It says throughout the Bible multiple times talking about temptation and talking about how real it is. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And then James says later in the chapter, no one, when tempted, should say, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. It's interesting because James, right here in the same chapter, uses the same word and the same root to talk about being tempted and being tested. And this word that he uses is actually perazo. This word perazo means temptation, trials, or tests. Now, this word is interesting because it's a neutral, gender-neutral word, and it's also a neutral word in how it's used. This word can be used with something negative, a temptation that is bad for you, but it can also be used as a test or a trial or temptation that produces something good. And so when he's saying here, lead me not into temptation, it's saying, lead me not into this area where I can be tempted in this negative way or that I fail to the temptation. See, as we're looking at this word of understanding temptation, trial, and test, temptations and tests and trials can actually be very good things. They can be good for us because they test us. They try us. They figure out, are we strong enough? Do we have the strength to withstand? It's talking about, have you heard the refiner's fire it mentions in the Bible? Where a refiner's fire burns off the impurities. By putting it through the flame, you get rid of the junk and you have what's pure and wholesome and left. And you have that metal that you wanted in the first place. When we have trials and when we have tests, it does the same thing. It can sometimes remove that from us, which is bad, so that the more of the good is there. The other way that you have trials and tests is sometimes on things like anchors, on different things we use. You would never go out to sea on a huge boat and go, I hope the anchor holds. No, you put that anchor through tests. You put it through trials. You put it through different things and you run tests on it to make sure that when you need it, when things are falling apart around you, when you're stuck in that storm, that an anchor is going to hold firm. These trials and tests we go through can help lift us up, can help strengthen resolve, can be good for us. Trials and tests can be good. They can make it so that we understand where our strength comes from. We can understand how tough that metal is. We can understand, are we going to hold through the storm on God or are we going to fall apart when it gets tough? Being tested and go through trials, it says, consider it pure joy when you go through it. Pure joy when you're going through tough times because you know what the end result is. It creates endurance. And endurance purifies us and lets us come to the point where we know where we hold on to. So trials and tests are good, but this word that's used here of lead me not into temptation has a connotation of giving in to temptations. And that's bad, right? Trials, testing's good, giving in to temptation, bad. So what Jesus is saying here is lead me not into temptation. Lead me not into a place where I fail. Lead me not into a place where I fall apart. God, I want to be tried. I want to be tested. I want to know that my strength comes from you. But don't let me get in a situation where I'm not going to be able to handle it, where I'm going to fail, God. Keep me from that. Hold fast. Let me know that you are the anchor I can depend upon. Let me know that you are the one that will keep me strong. Temptation, unfortunately, is something that is all around us. Temptation will be in every single person's life here. If you have the internet, there's temptations. If you know that there's a liquor store down there, there's temptations. If you know that you're going to a concert and there's people who are going to be scantily clad, there's temptations in your mind of what is going on. There's thoughts that wander. There's temptations all around us. And we need to understand a couple things about temptations. The first is that temptation is universal. It's everywhere around us. It happens to everyone, and there's no getting around it. Temptation is universal. Every single person in this room, including myself, has been, probably is, and will be tempted throughout their life. It's not something you can get away from. But remember, temptation isn't necessarily a bad thing. Being tried and tested, being tempted to be able to hold on stronger to God and understand where your strength comes from is not a bad thing. It's when we fail to it that's a bad thing. Temptation is universal. Temptation is inevitable. It is going to happen. Do not think that you will be able to go through life and go, as long as I stay right in this perfect little circle or surround myself with just the right friends, I will never be tempted. You will be tempted. You will struggle with that temptation. What matters is when you go through that temptation, when you go through those things, where do you find your strength? It says in Luke 17, one day Jesus said to his disciples, there will always be temptations to sin. There will always be temptations to sin. It's not there might be. It's not, I hope there's not. There will always be these temptations to sin. What we have to choose is, do we give in to those temptations or do we not? The other thing about temptation is that temptation is personal. Temptation usually affects us right at our weakest point. And it affects each one of us differently. Temptation is personal because how you get tempted and how you get tempted is probably different than the way I get tempted. And we all, some of your strengths may be what my weaknesses. And my strengths may be your weaknesses. So when you get tempted, something that I would not struggle with at all, you may really struggle with. But something that you sit there and go, this doesn't even affect me, could be the bane of my existence. It's a very personal thing for each of us. It hits right inside of our hearts. And the problem is, if we give in to that temptation, or when we do, because at some point in our life, we give in to temptation because we have sin nature, it creates a lot of things inside of us. It creates shame. It creates guilt. And we sit there and we hold on to that for a long time because we're like, look at how I failed. Look at how I gave in. I'm so weak. But the reality is, we are weak. We do fail. We are broken people. Jesus is saying here, Lord, God, lead me not into temptation. Why? Because we recognize that we will fail. We are going to be in temptation. And if we leave it up to our sin nature, to ourselves, most of the time we're going to fail. And so we need to reach out to God and say, God, I need your strength to not lead me into temptation, to not fail into temptation, to not give in. I need to lean on you because guess what? God never fails. We will fail over and over again, but God never fails. The last thing you need to understand about temptation is this. Temptation is not irresistible. I know that sounds like a double negative. But temptation is not irresistible, meaning it doesn't have to happen. You don't have to fail to temptation. Or you don't have to have this temptation that leads you down to evil. It is not irresistible. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I've heard people use this verse to go, God will never give you anything more than you can handle. That is not what this verse says. God will absolutely give you more than you can handle. Absolutely. God will allow things to happen that you sit there and go, I can't do this. I can't stand up to this. I am not strong enough. Guess what happens in those moments? You either fail and you fall apart, or you recognize that the only strength you have comes from God. And when you lean on him more, he can beat it all. That God can take care of that. That God can give us strength. We will fail. But God, he does not fail. His love endures forever. So when we sit there and go, God will never give us more than we can handle, that is hogwash. He will give you more than you can handle. It'll be incredibly difficult. He will allow things to happen to you that will test you and that will try you and that will let you struggle. Why? Because God wants a relationship with you. God wants you to know that you need him. God wants you to lean towards him, to reach out to him, to find his strength and make it become your strength. We try and do this on our own, if we try and fight temptation and say, I'm strong enough, I can do it, you will fail. I know every time I've said, I can put myself in that situation because I know I can handle it. Guess who doesn't handle it? This guy. Because as soon as I rely on my own strength, I rely on a broken person. I rely on a person who has sin in his life. I rely on a person who has a complete sin nature, whose own flesh goes against what his heart and soul knows is right. Only when I lean completely on Jesus can that temptation be broken. Can we endure through it? So if we understand this idea of kind of what is temptation, some of the aspects of it, the next question will be, well, where does temptation come from? I can tell you right away, I know where it doesn't come from. In James 1:13, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God is not sitting there going, I'm going to tempt you and put this difficult thing in your life. I'm going to make it so you stumble. God doesn't do that. Does he allow things to happen? Absolutely. Why? Because he wants us to rely more and more on him. He wants us to reach out to him. He wants us to hold fast to him. He doesn't want us to try and do it on our own because he knows we'll fail. He wants us to say, hey, I'm struggling. God, I need you right now. He's like, good. Then lean on me. Let me be strong enough for this. Let me be your strength. Let me be the one that can beat this temptation. Why? Because I can't be tempted. He's perfect in every way. And he'll never tempt us. So where does temptation come from? Well, comes from the world around us. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that has sin nature throughout it. We live in a world where people don't want a relationship with God, where they want to turn from God because they hate the idea of God. Why? Because if you have an idea of God, it means you're not the top person in your universe. It means you know that you have a master that is not your own and that you have a God that's not your own, and that means you're not really in control. People like control. People want to be in control. I like being in control. I realize I'm not. I realize I don't really have control over my life. And once I let that go more and more, I have more and more freedom throughout my life. It's a really odd thing, but that's the way it works. So the world is always tempting you. The world will try and push you to things that say, do it because, man, it feels good. Come sin with me. It's a great time. We can go to hell in a handbasket all together. Right? Just like misery loves company, sin loves someone sinning along with them. Because then it feels okay. At least I'm not alone. And so the world will tempt you. The world will try and seduce you. The world will try and change who you are and make you do things. The other place temptation comes from is the devil himself. See, In that verse, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. That word evil can be translated two ways. It can either mean deliver me from evil, from all evil, or the other translation is deliver me from the evil one, specifically the devil who is trying to make you do evil. Either one of those translations is 100% correct because they both mean the same thing. Either the devil who is evil or evil itself, which is the devil. The devil does not want to see you have a relationship with God. He does not. He wants to see you fail. He wants to see you turn away from God just as he turned from God. Remember? Sin loves to have someone sin with him. Satan sat there and went, and he turned away from God, turned away from God's will, and turned away from being in this presence and said, I don't want you to be in control of my life anymore. And he wants us to do the exact same thing. He wants us to turn from God. He wants us to go a different way. He wants us to follow him in his way instead of following God and having a relationship with him. And the third place that temptation really comes from is from me. Not me specifically. I'm not the tempter here. But inside yourself. Temptation comes from inside yourself. It says in James 1:13, what we just read, the second part of that verse is an amazing thing. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. We have sin nature inside of us. Our flesh has sin nature. We are constantly in a battle and a war. And most of you can probably feel this all the time of, I want to do this and I want to follow God, but my flesh fights against me and pushes me this other way. All the time. It's a battle I feel within myself to sit there and go, God, I want to follow you with everything inside of me. But my flesh wants to lead me another way. We have a sin nature inside of us. A sin nature that is trying to drag us away from God. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Most times I sit there and go, that means deliver me from me. God, deliver me from myself, from my brokenness, from my sin nature that I know wants to go against you. Deliver me from me. Interesting word about this, deliver, when it says, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. That word in Greek for deliver literally means when someone is wounded on a field and you grab them and drag them to safety is literally what that word means. What we're asking God is saying, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. When I failed and I'm wounded and I'm down, grab me by the shirt and take me away from it. Pull me back into your presence, God. I can't do it on my own. I need you to deliver me from me. Deliver me from my own sin nature. This prayer can be a powerful prayer. The entire Lord's Prayer can be a powerful prayer. Because we start recognizing God's holiness and his will in our life. We recognize our daily need for him. We recognize the forgiveness we need and that we need to give others. And we ask God to keep us from falling in temptation, to deliver us from evil, to drag us away when we fail. It goes from the God of the holiest holies all the way down to the end to saying, God, I need you to drag me along. Because I'm so broken. Take me out of this battle that I'm failing. It's a recognition of where God is and where we are and how much we need him. So as we've talked about this Lord's Prayer the whole time, as we've talked about it and we've gone through it, this whole idea is that we should be praying. That we should be praying to God and not just saying these words because they sound nice or because we've memorized them, but understanding their meaning. So that when we pray, we can pray simply, going, God, this is what I need. I want to recognize you, and these are the things in my life. That we can pray thankfully for who God is. That every time we go to him, we remember that he is the Holy of Holies. That we can pray immediately, in this moment, right now, God, when I'm struggling, I need to reach out to you immediately. I need you to intervene because I can't do it myself. If left to my own desires, I will fail. God, I need you now. To pray continually, right? Give us this day our daily bread. That every day we need to be in communion with God. We need to be talking to him. We need to be asking him for these things. But I believe most importantly is to pray sincerely. When we pray, don't just go through the motions. Pray to God with all your heart. Talk to him. Tell him exactly what you need. He knows already what your needs are, but guess what? He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to rely on him. He says he will be faithful. He will be faithful to you. Lean on God in all things. Have a life of prayer that continually recognizes where God is, and where we are, and how much we need him in our life. And when we do that, it will change our life. It will change our heart. It will change our outlook. And we have more and more of God in our hearts, and we become more and more in his image. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, thank you for being you, the Holy of Holies, perfect in every way. Lord, I pray that your will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven, God. Lord, I pray that every day, as we struggle with things, you would give us what we need. You would give us what we need in this moment. God, I ask for your forgiveness in all of our lives. For your forgiveness, God, for how we sin and how we offend you. But God, that we would also forgive others. And that love you have for us would flow through us to the rest of the world, God. Lord, I pray that we would not give in to temptation. That we would keep our eyes set on you. That we'd recognize when we're failing, God, we need your strength. And that, Lord, when all else fails, you would take us by the collar and drag us away and remove us from the enemy. Keep us from evil, God. Lord, I pray that through all this, yours would continue to be the power. Your kingdom come. May it be your glory forever and ever, God. We pray these things in your